You know, I've been thinking about sharing something this morning. It's been kind of stirring in me a little bit, just to go back and kind of touch on this a little bit. But what I wanted to just touch on today was what we say with our mouths, what we're saying with our mouths. You might have gone through something this past year, or you might be walking through something and might be dealing with something, whether it's physical, financial, family, whatever that may be. Could be mental, people struggle with various things. But one of the things that I don't know. It was something always, something that I was always drawn to, even before I was saved, was words. And I'd always listen to what people were saying, how they were talking. Now, I didn't know the principles, but I listened. I heard things. I'd hear how people talked. So it piqued my interest, I guess you could say. And so after I got saved, it was really one of the first articles that kind of drew my attention. It literally stopped me. We were in a, when I first started going to church, it was at an Assembly of God church where I got saved and fed for a while. And I remember this pastor got exposed to the Word of Faith. He started getting Kenneth E. Hagin's magazine, The Word of Faith, and he used to take, because you'd only get one copy yourself, so he used to make copies of articles and stick them in the back of the church. And so he would just feed us that way. He had a good heart. And this one article was labeled Words. And man, I just grabbed that up and I started reading and I said, ah, so what is that? Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of his word bringeth light. So although you may have kind of saw things, or maybe that, maybe you didn't understand it, the spiritual principles behind it, maybe you said, why do they talk like that? Why are they talking like that? But you didn't understand the why and the impact of why people talk the way they do, and the impact of what they're doing. And so these articles began to unfold and reveal to me the importance of our words, and through the Word of God. And it's always good to go back and just examine what am I doing with my words? What am I saying? Sometimes we get so just habits that we have. We say certain things, and then you just do it. You don't even think about it, and you're living today based on the words you spoke yesterday, or a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 10 years ago. You're living out what you're speaking. And so a lot of times, we don't understand why we're stuck in a rut sometimes, or why we're walking through certain things. It's because you've been saying certain things. Could be. Doesn't always have to be, but it could be. And it's, if you're doing that, it's time to make a correction, make a little correction and change something. If you want to have the best year you've ever had, then you need to say it. And you need to decree, this year will be the best year I've ever lived in my life, the best year I've ever had. Everything I set my hands to is blessed. Everything I do is blessed. You might have no money. You might have no job. You might have nothing. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So when you don't have something, when you don't have your health, when you don't have money, when you don't have things going the way they should, that's the time to talk what you don't have, not talk about what you have. I just ain't got no money. I ain't got no job. Everybody's against me. This, that. Well, then you're going to live that out. And what'll end up happening is the more you say things, then what ends up happening is your spirit is an eternal thing. It's eternal. And your spirit, not only God leads you, but your spirit will lead you to your own human spirit will just lead you and go, I feel like I need to go over this direction, or let me go talk to this person, or let me go have a try to get a job here. And your spirit man will lead you to fulfill the words that you're speaking. So everybody doesn't understand that, but I remember years ago when Charles Capps was alive, he began to talk about these things because he had learned through men and women that had gone before him, like Brother Hagin, that he began to embrace these principles and began to apply them in his life. And he began to say, how people that he had known had had bad confessions. When I say bad, I mean, things that would cause them to go to fail, just negative words. And he said, somebody would just say, he'd open the paper up and look at the job postings. And he said, I'll go over here. But it was a bad choice. And he said, not long after that person took the job, the company closed up. Well, another person who was saying the right things said, oh, look at that. I'll go over here. And your heart, your spirit can lead you in directions to fulfill the words that you're speaking. And people don't understand this. And just think about this. God's word in Colossians says that we've been, through his blood, we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So your spirit man is changed. You're a brand new person in Christ. You've been delivered from Satan's power. So he cannot defeat you. He can't. It's not possible. You are a brand new person. So that means that I've got within me the wisdom of God. But if I'm saying the wrong things, then what's going to end up happening is you're going to plant seed. Your words are like a seed, and they're going to get planted in your heart. And the more you water them, with what? Your words. You keep watering it, you keep watering it, you keep watering it, you're going to produce a harvest. You're going to produce a crop of bad choices, bad decisions, bad things in your life. And you won't see that what you're doing is wrong only because you've been saying it so much that you think it's hey. You just say, well, it is what it is. Well, that's the problem. You're talking what is instead of what is not seen. If you want the best year, if you want something to change in your life, and that goes for all of us, every one of us. I mean, we've all faced, I mean, the last couple of years, facing just on a ministry level, things that, you just have to put down thoughts. You've got to say, no, this is the way it's going to be. I remember just before we did the Copeland event, You know, just little things you walk through. You know, we had to cancel it the year before because he had committed. This is in 2020. And he had committed to come. And so things started to kind of open up. You know, New York was relaxing a little bit. And then little by little, it's like, you know, they said, yeah, you can hold a meeting, but you can only have 25% of the people. Well, how are you going to do that? That's not possible. So we ended up having to cancel that. So we canceled the meeting in 2020. Well, now you're into 2021. And we're cruising along, and if you saw that sanctuary in the condition it was in about 6-8 weeks out, you're like, there's no way you could get ready. I mean, we had ceiling tiles that were out. We had 3,000 seats. You got to clean them. You've got to get carpet clean. You've got to get stuff prepared. It hadn't been used in 2 years. You had to dust it, clean it. There was some mold. There was stuff, just stuff. And a lot of ceiling tiles, and you're up 40 feet in the air. Well, nobody wants to go up 40 feet in the air and do ceiling tile. And there were a lot of ceiling tiles. I don't mean a little, I mean a lot. Mucho lot. To the point where you're like, I'm serious. We had people come in. I mean, just people coming in volunteering their time. I'm not going to name names, but there were a few. I mean, they just worked where they could down low. But then up where you're 40 feet, some folks said, yeah, God bless you. So we're 3 weeks out, 4 weeks away. And I said to Pastor Greg, you know, my mind is going. I said, I don't know. What do you think? Should we cancel? I mean, I'm considering it, really, because we reached out to one of the contractors that we know. And he said, man, I'm booked. I can't get in. I'm sorry, I can't. So we're like, how are we going to do this? We got no volunteers, or we had a few that were willing to go up 40 feet. We had purchased a big scaffolding system with wheels so we could build it and get up. But you had one or two that were willing to get up. That's it. And I'm telling you, there was a lot of tiles to do up high. So I'm still going, how are we going to do this? So it was weighing. And I said, maybe we should cancel. And I went home that night and I said, no, that's not faith. Faith says we're doing this. I didn't know how, and neither did Pastor Greg. We didn't know how. It looked like in the natural, there was no zero way you could do this and have it look presentable. The minute I said yes, the minute we said yes, things fell in place. The minute we said, we're doing it, we don't know how, we're doing it. And we made a heart choice. The contractor that said no, he called and said, hey man, I got some time. I'll give you 4 days. 7 guys, young Hispanic, got up on this scaffold. They're going. I mean, going. 4 days. And we ended up taking them for 5. He said, I'll give you another day. We had them for a full week. It cost. But we had 5 guys, actually a little more. We had 6 or 7. And they came in and they burned it. I mean, they worked. But the minute we said yes, it changed. The minute we said yes, the next day we get a, hey man, I got time. That's faith. And we didn't know how. There was no way with this crew coming in. If they hadn't come in, we wouldn't have got it done. I'm just telling you, in the natural. There was no way in the natural You had no prospects. You understand what I mean by that? There were no prospects. And we were working as hard as we could to get it done. Whatever we needed to do. And the other people, you know, we had a long, anybody who's been there, that was a theater. We have, you know, there used to be green rooms in the back. And you had a long, there's a long tunnel that's underground. That was full of mold. Carpeting had to be cleaned. The walls had to be stripped. I'm talking about over 100 feet, 120, 30 feet tunnel. I mean, all of this stuff. And Brother Copeland was going to use that tunnel just for security reasons. So you couldn't, you had to get it ready. But the minute we said yes, all that fell into place, and that contractor that came in to do the ceiling, they burned it. They also did the tunnel. Oh, yeah, he said, oh, you know, I know a guy that can do the mold remediation. He come in, he'll do that. Bing, 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 we'll come in, we'll do the walls. Ding, boom, 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 boom. Carpet cleaning people came in, boom, boom, boom. It all fell into place. I'm telling you, we were there every night till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. But it came. It worked. So a lot of things, all I'm sharing is that whether you're dealing with that or whether you're dealing with whatever it is, you keep your words right. You keep, what's the scripture saying, Amos? How can two walk together unless they agree? You've got to stay in agreement with the word of God. Because the word of God gives license for the word to work and begin to work in your behalf. But the minute you don't see something and you go, eh, then you put in motion something else, possibly. You start talking negative, well, it ain't going to work. It won't work. Because remember, what is Genesis 1? It says, we are made in the image and likeness of God. That means you are a God-like person. You are a spirit. A speaking spirit. He didn't make animals to speak. He made us to be in the image and likeness of God. And so when I speak, I am releasing words that if are in faith will produce just like God. And so when I get his word in me, and I release that, then God gets involved and he watches over his word to perform it. And he will start moving things in your life that didn't seem like they would work. They'll begin, doors will open up, things will happen, and you'll reap what you're sowing, which is your words. See? So I just share that. You know, it's been on my heart to share that. That we need to stick with God's word, stick with the word of God, regardless of what you're walking through. And it doesn't, you know, it just, here's the other thing. Words, when they're spoken, what is Mark 4? It talks about the sower, the parable of the sower. The sower sows the word. Everything in the kingdom of God is seed, time, and harvest. And we're made in his image and likeness. So his disciples said, what does this parable mean? He said, if you understand this parable, you'll understand the kingdom of God and the principles of it, that you've got to speak the word of God. You've got to grip it and hold on to it and don't get moved by what you're walking through. I mean, these are the principles where when we look at Mark 11, and we look at whosoever shall say under the mountain. You're faced with an obstacle. You're faced with some situation in life, whatever it is. Remember, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I've come to give you life and have it more abundantly. So the things that I should be experiencing in life is life abundantly, and not destruction and damage and stealing my stuff. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face opposition. I think some people think, well, you know, God said I'm going to have life and life more abundantly. Sure doesn't look like it in my life. He died. Redemption secured that, the blessings of God. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to face obstacles because you've got a devil in the earth. You've got opposition. But we've been given the greater one and God's word and the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus to confront it. So that means I can walk through it. I can live an abundant life, but I've got to keep my speech right. So I've got to make some choices that if I've got off a little bit or I'm saying something in some ways in areas of my life, just change it. That's all. Don't get in a ditch over it. Just say, you know what? That wasn't right. And begin to correct things that you say. You know, we don't realize things that we put in motion or we've given the devil rights in our life to do things just because of the words we say. And we need to say, no, you have no right in my life. You have no right in my body. You have no right in my family. You have no right. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have opposition. You may. You may have opposition. He got in Jesus' space, didn't he? He tempted him. But Jesus always came back what? And he came back and said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And we need to do the same. And so, you know, some things, you know, can change quickly, but some things may take some time to change when it involves other people. I might be making a confession. You know, you might be making a confession or speaking some words about your children, or you might be speaking some words about your spouse, or whatever it may be, or your job. When it involves other people, it doesn't mean that the words that you're speaking aren't working. You have no control over another person's choices, but you certainly can release those words and say, no, you have no right in my family here in the name of Jesus. And you pray for your children and you pray for your spouse. You pray for them that they make wise choices and that we have a family of peace and harmony and we walk in agreement. You may not be walking in agreement, but that doesn't mean you don't release the words, because then you're not agreeing with God. See, you need to agree with his word. And what you believe, you speak. I mean, there's times, you know, your flesh is like, this ain't going to work. Your mind is telling you, your flesh is telling you. But now, you need to make a choice at that point, don't you? You need to make a choice. Who's right, God or me? I sure don't know. All I know is what I see. But God knows something that I don't see. He sees, you know, things that I don't. So I just share those things with us today, that if we want the best year we're ever going to have, then I need to say it, even if I'm not living it. This is the best year that this ministry's ever had. This is the best year I've ever had, and I'm going to live it and experience it. And I'm going to talk it. And the only way you're going to live it is if you talk it. And you've got to believe it. You've got to say, you know what? God wants me to prosper. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So this is the best year that I've ever had. And the best year this ministry's ever had. Prospering. Now, that doesn't mean you just sit back on your behind and do nothing. Right? That means you get up and you act like you're prospering. You do something. Be led. Get up and move. Do something. Right? Do something for God. Do something to grow and expand. So there's a part we have to play. Not just confessing the word, but it also means there's got to be some action. Right? So let's turn over to, when you start to look at words, look at 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, God talks about seed. And he said, being born again, how? Not of corruptible seed. See, so how were we born again? We were born again by the power of the word of God, which we know from the parables said the word of God is the seed. But what kind of seed is it? It's incorruptible seed. That's what it says. For being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I like this is the Passion Translation. It says, for through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again, and this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed. Oh, I like this. But will live and grow inside of you forever. So that means the seed, you know, when you leave this body, if Jesus tarries and you leave this body, the word of God that's been sown in you is going to be in there when you're going to heaven. It liveth and abideth forever. Isn't that exciting? That means what we learn here, we're taking it to heaven. And we're just going to grow and expand upon that. But if you didn't learn anything here, you're going to learn it in heaven. You're going to be going to 101 class or whatever. Right? But isn't that great that what we learn here, what gets planted in our spirit here, lives and abides forever and it grows. So that means when we go to heaven, we're not starting over from scratch. Amen. So God's word is seed. So if we're made in the image and likeness of God, then the words that we speak are like seeds, which when planted, if you keep watering them, will produce something, just like the word of God will produce. So the words that we speak just in conversation, you know, sometimes we need to think of some things spiritual. Words are spiritual because if words, you know, a physical word can't change something, but a word that's spiritual, a word is like a container, and a word is a container like faith is. So words, when they're planted, where are they planted? In your heart. And what comes out of your heart is faith. Faith-filled words. So words are not just for communication. Words are really for power, for changing something. And God has given us that right and ability for words not just to communicate, but to change something. Because my words, when they're spoken like God, change something. They put something into motion. They create something. And so we need to remember that words are not just for communication, but they're for changing something, they're for impacting something. So just like God spoke things into existence, if we're made in his image and likeness, and we know from the scripture that we are, then that means my words change things for good or for bad. And that's what the scripture says. If you go to Proverbs 18, you can take a look at that. Proverbs 18 and verse 20 and 21. So we talk about words and what we're saying. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, it says, a man's belly, I'm reading from the King James, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now listen to this. This is in the Passion Translation. It says, sharing words of wisdom is satisfying to your inner being. What does that mean? That means words of wisdom are satisfying to your spirit. And it says, it encourages you to know that you've changed someone else's life. Now listen to verse 21. This is a Passion Translation. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. That doesn't just mean you're chatty. That means you're releasing words that can work against you. So we need to just watch our words and what we're releasing with our words. You know, you may think, well, it's just kind of, you know, they're not doing anything, or I'm giving somebody a piece of my mind. You might be releasing something in that person's life or speaking some kind of something over them that you don't want to do. So our words need to be filled with faith. Or you could say it another way, the words that I speak are like my servants. They do what I say do. In other words, the words that I'm releasing are like servants to me. They work in my behalf. You know what I mean? In other words, if you had a servant and you had somebody working for you, they would work on your behalf, what you want them to do. And so your words are like servants. When you release them, they're doing your work for you. Right? So words are like servants in that way. So your words can either make you a millionaire or make you a pauper. Not saying everybody would be a millionaire, but it can make you prosperous or it can hold you in bondage. And I'm convinced that the devil has, you know, because he doesn't care. There's no love in the devil. He's hate. And so everything he does is to destroy people. So when you think about this, think about your, you know, what you would call troubled areas or poor areas or people live in. Listen to how they talk. Now, yes, the devil has used people to hurt people and to do bad things to people in society. I don't care whether it's in the United States, could be in any country, you got people that do bad things to people and repress people. And because they think it's people against them, then they form opinions about things, and then they begin to talk negative. And their words now begin to work against them. So the devil's doing two things. He's getting people to hurt them in the natural, and then they get mad and then start talking negative, and then their own words begin to work against them. And the devil is getting this lick in both ways. So I'm not saying that it's right that people do bad things. I'm just saying that the devil is using people to do bad things in society. And then people form opinions about that, and then they start talking negative. And they start saying things, and, you know, we'll never get out of here. I'm poor. I'm this. I'm that. I'm that. And you will be. You will never get out of it. Because you're trapped. What does the scripture say in Proverbs 6? You're snared by the words of your mouth. So we need to, you know, when we see these principles, sometimes, you know, we've had, as pastors, we've had people, we had a few people that, you know, lived down in the inner city of Newark, and they'd come up and they'd just wah, 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 wah. You know what I mean by that? Just suck their teeth and just go at you and just do whatever, right? And you'd sit there with all compassion and say, look, you need to change. Yeah, but you don't understand. It's this, and these people against it. I said, I understand that. I'm not saying they're not, but you need to change your words. But they were so snared with it that they didn't see it. So sometimes it's like trying to help somebody, and they need milk. They need to, and you're trying to help them best you can, and they're choking on it. And they don't see it. So sometimes you just have to say, okay, just back off and pray for them. And hope they see it. And some do see it, and some don't. And so all I'm sharing is that when you run into people that are snared like this, you need to, number one, if you're snared, you need to make a choice. You know what? Yeah, people did bad things to me, but that's not going to hold me snared in life. That's not going to take what's given to me by the blood of Jesus. He died for every person, not just some special group here and there. Every person was redeemed. And all you do is receive it by the word of God. You receive it and do what? It says, by the word of your mouth. You believeth unto righteousness, and confession is made unto salvation. So what legally was done by the blood of Jesus and his shed blood, I make that a reality by me believing it, and the power of the gospel goes into effect in my heart and changes me. So when I begin to see that and I begin to grow in the things of God, my responsibility is to help people if I can and show them, look, yeah, okay, some bad stuff was done. I understand that. People did things, but God's not mad at you. He'll give you everything that your heart desires. He will change it through his word and faith in his word. He'll change your life. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, Pastor Sarah was up, I mean, with David Berkowitz, all of these people that were murderers. And the blood of Jesus changed them. You wouldn't even recognize them. They're like, they're just sweet. Not murderers. Paul said, what did Paul? Saul was a murderer. So if God can use a murderer and change him, he can certainly change us. He can certainly change us, right? And use us. So, you know, words are important, and they're so, it's foundational, and sometimes maybe it, you know, we We may say, well, I know that already. But the Word of God, believed and spoken, will change things. And I don't care how long you've been waiting for something. It could be 20 years. But you just think about it. Somebody can help me here, but how many years was Noah building the ark? It was a while. I think it was 300 or 400 years he was building. I know somebody has a chronological Bible, but it was a long time. He was building the ark. And he moved, what does the scripture say? He moved with fear. Well, that means reverence. So when God said to him, do X, Y, Z, he didn't get about halfway there and go, I ain't seen nothing. What's all that about? He kept pursuing it and kept, said he was a preacher of righteousness, which means all through that time, the reason God did what? Because of this, the sin and the darkness and the man's heart. It said that God allowed the earth to be destroyed with water. 120 years, yeah. Yeah. So how long you been waiting? Right. So when God's word is settled, it's forever settled in heaven. So if he said something to you, you stick with it and don't let go. Regardless, right? Regardless of what's going on. So, look at Proverbs 21 and verse 23. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. In the New Living Translation, it says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. Whoops, that's pretty plain. And it says, and you will stay out of trouble. Yeah, keep your mouth shut, right? And you stay out of trouble. Yeah. The Contemporary English Version says, watching what you say can save you a lot of trouble. The Passion Translation says, watch your words and be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised by how few troubles you'll have. That's just the natural principle. You know, I remember I worked when I was in corporate America. We had a guy that I worked, we each had project teams. You know, I had a project team of programmers, and so did he. And periodically, we would meet with the chief executive officer, you know, as the positions that we had. Once in a while, we would meet with certain individuals with the corporation, and they would just, it would give an opportunity for us to ask questions or share some things on our mind. And it was a corporate setting where he would come, certain others would come, some VPs and so forth. And this CEO was a no-nonsense person. He was from Boston, you know what I mean? He had a real strong Boston accent. I'm just trying my best, but he had a very strong Boston accent. And this person that worked for me, he didn't work for me, he worked alongside me. He was another project leader. He made fun of his Boston accent in front of him. Oh, yeah. And I'm sitting there going, you're a jerk. What are you doing? And he was bright. This person I worked along with, you know, we had project teams of programmers, and he was very bright, and he got shelved. You know what I mean? That was it. That was the end of his. They put him over here, and you can do over here and do this little whatever, whatever, and that was the end of his career. He didn't fire him. but he can go nowhere. So you just got to watch your mouth, because it'll save you a lot of trouble. You can say the wrong things at the wrong time to someone, and that's it for you. So I trust that God is more merciful than that. But even where God's concerned, you know, you need to watch. We need to watch what we say. Proverbs 13, verse 3. It's in the King James, it says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." The New Living Translation, it says, "Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything." Yeah, can. Not saying it always will, but it can. The Passion Translation, Proverbs 13:3, it says, "Guard your words and you'll guard your life. But if you don't control your tongue, it will ruin everything." You know, you just think about it. How many marriages have ended up in divorce because of saying the wrong things, right? We know that. How many people have gotten fired from jobs because they said the wrong things? They opened their mouth, right? And it could be your children. You could have just, getting annoyed or something, and you open your mouth and say something, and it can damage a child permanently. Could. So you just open your mouth and you can ruin some things. So it's best in the heat of things, just cool off. You know, cool off and then think about what you're going to say next after you've cooled down. And most times when you've cooled down, you go, "I didn't need to say that. I was just annoyed." Right? Slow to speak, yeah. Quick to listen and slow to speak, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're all growing in this area. Look, we all know when we were younger, boy, we're going to say something. We all did. We're going to get our 2 cents in and then some. And then after we've made a few mistakes and ruin a few things, we go, "You know what? I didn't need to say that. I need to shut up and keep my mouth closed." Right? I just need to be quiet. No, it's the truth. You know, the word is the truth. So your words, you know, can either judge you, or, which is what the scripture says, we either judged by our words or freed from our words, I think it is. Let me just share this for a minute here. Just go to James chapter 3 and verse 1. James chapter 3 and verse 1. Yeah, what I was thinking before was Matthew 12, verse 37. It says, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. You could stay at James, but I'll read this. This is the Matthew 12. You jot this down. Matthew 12, 37. In the Passion Translation, it says, "Your very words will be used as evidence, and your words will declare you either innocent or guilty." So the words you speak will be used as evidence against you. So James chapter 3, I didn't hear you.
When the FBI comes to say anything you say will be used against you in the court of law.
Yeah.
The Bible already said it.
Yeah, the Bible already said it. Right. It'll be used as evidence against you. Against you. Yeah. So God is going to use that as evidence against you. Right. Your words will be used. Yeah. Jesus said that. Jesus said it. Right. Right. So again, holding on, you know, taking that thought in James chapter 3 in verse 1, I'll read this in the King James. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we," and that means teachers, "knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." It says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." That word offend doesn't mean I said something to offend you, although it can mean that. It actually, what it means is to stumble. It means to err, trip up. It just means, in other translations, the NIV, it says, we all stumble in many ways. So in the King James says, we offend in many ways. The NIV says, we stumble in many ways. And the Passion Translation says, we fail in many areas. So it just means that if you can control your words, then you're a perfect or mature person. You're not stumbling with your words. You're not sinning with your words. You see, that's what that means. So it goes on. We offend in many things. We offend all. If any man offend not in word, or doesn't stumble in his words, or err with his words, the same is a perfect man, or that means a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So that means your tongue is like a rudder. That's what this goes on to say. It says, verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." So our tongue, like it said, if we control our tongue and keep our tongue, we stay out of trouble. That's what the scripture said. We stay out of trouble. You know, we don't have as many problems. It says you'll be surprised how few problems you'll have. You know, you just zip it. So I would just suggest, you know, if you're doing everything good, just make whatever corrections. But I would suggest that if you want change this year, then begin to look at what you're saying. What is it you're saying? And if you're not saying anything really bad, then say what you want. You begin to decree what you're going to have this year. I'm going to have this. You know, if you own a business, you say, well, you know what? My business prospers. My business is prospering. Everything I set my hands to prospers. I have favor with God and man. And you begin to say it and believe it, because that's what the scripture says. That which we believe, we say. And God wants me to prosper. If I believe that God is positioning me and directing me in this, then he wants me to prosper. Then it's the best, everything I set my hands to. I've got the best deals. I've got the best, you know, people that I'm dealing with. I mean, we've dealt with things this past year, just in the ministry, even here. I mean, you all were here when we had that whole issue with the water here, right? For months, and then we didn't know anything was going. All they kept saying was, "Well, you know, it looks bad. You're going to have to do this." And they're talking 120, 130, 150,000, you know, big ducats, big bucks. And so we're like, ooh, okay, take a deep breath. And when I was up here on the property, we were cutting grass, and Deacon Esmond says, hey, the water guys, and or his wife is in the back. She says she thinks she found the problem with the water. Really? We go in the back, and there's our well cap right in this, by this back parking lot area here. And she says, man, this is not right. She said, who put this seal on the top of the pipe? This is loose. She said, that could introduce bacteria or other things from the outside into your well. She said, I think that's your problem. Well, we kept testing, with E. coli, and we're thinking, how do you get E. coli in a well? We had one time there was a dead animal that got in one of the wells, and so that created a problem. So they had to do something with that. But here, how would you get that? We don't know. So she said, you know what? We can seal that. We'll put the right thing on the top. We'll seal it. We'll get this all fixed. Boom, boom, boom. We haven't had a problem, nary a problem since. That was the problem. That was the Holy Ghost. See, when you talk positive, when you talk right, when you release your words, we're faced with a big thing that we would have had to get engineers and design and man, and then the people to put it in, and they were talking about a big project. And all we kept, and we speak right words all the time. And so all of a sudden, it just, boop, just like that, it just boop, changed. Just changed. So suddenly, we didn't talk negative. We weren't saying, oh my God, we're going to have to spend the money. Yeah, we would have. But we didn't do that. I'm telling you, what we were saying was, I'm telling you, because we lived through it. We said, they're going to find the problem. They're going to find it. And it's not going to be that what they're talking about. Something's going to surface. Because the whole thing didn't make sense. And it was a simple thing. Simple. Now, I'm talking about that. It could be your health. It could be something. And they're telling you, oh, you're going to have this whole big operate. And you keep your words right. You keep your words right. I mean, I lived through that. The Holy Ghost told me, said, you better go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, because if you don't, you won't see the end of the year. He gave me 6 months. And I was in a lot of pain for over a year. Excruciating pain. And I was keeping my words right. I was speaking words. Staying in agreement with the Word of God. Not saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I didn't release those words. I kept speaking the Word of God. And when you do that, you create a way for God to position you. He was leading me. And so, yeah, I went to the emergency room. I went to doctors and all of that. But down here, they started talking words over me and negative. And I'm like, oh, no, this don't look good. And I'm like, I said, don't look good. You didn't even run any tests. How do you know it's not good? I never went back. I'm just telling what I did. There was something not right. That's not to mean that I wouldn't have agreed to some doctor's diagnosis, but what he was releasing, I said, this is not right. Something's not right. You got to know and be led by his spirit, but you've got to release words that are right words. Because if I had released the wrong words, I may have made a bad choice. So what happened was, by releasing the right words, God was able to witness in my spirit and lead me. See, that's what I'm talking about. Keep your words right. I mean, you could own a business. You'll know who to do business with and who not to do business with. When you're right, speaking the right words, I'm telling you, we had years ago, I'm jumping ahead here. Years ago, we had a big project. We had to install a brand new sound system, and we had to put in a 200-amp service. So we needed to get bids in. Big service panel, and we had to run it from the front of the building to the back of the building. So it was a big project. Big pipe and all of the blah, blah, blah. So I remember when these people would come, they come to introduce themselves, various, you know, electrical contractors. And I remember this like yesterday. This guy comes, you don't know him from anybody. You don't know him, that term, we don't know him from Adam. Don't know him. And the minute this guy walked up, I got, it was just a witness. Nope, not, he didn't say, you know, he's bad or that, just nope. There was a witness, a check. And I said, And he ended up having the best price. And it was like, no. So somebody worked for the ministry at that time, and he knew people in the county. And I said, hey, and his family worked with the control, they call it the control center where all your fire alarm burglar goes to. And I said, let me ask a question. What about this electrical contractor? He said, don't touch him. And I said, that's what the Holy Ghost said. So another guy came who we ended up doing business with for years. The minute this guy walked up, there was a warmth, just a nice velvety warmth. And when he came up, he introduced himself. He gave me a portfolio of all of their officers, their business prospectus, everything. I said, I never had a contractor do that. And it just was right. Felt right, and they weren't cheap, but they were right, and they were good. And everybody else, you know, that we've dealt with through the years, contractors, you know, they don't get the right certifications, the COs, and all of this kind of stuff, and they're playing games behind you, and all of that. This contractor didn't do that. He was above board. So all I'm saying with that is that when you keep your words right, when you interact with people, you're gonna know. You'll know on the inside which way to go, what right choice to make. I mean, it was the same thing that happened to me, back to my health. When that happened, I knew this wasn't the right way. And I knew if I had agreed to follow the path with this doctor, he would have opened my stomach up, and I knew that path, that was the demise of me. And so what happened was I went to a naturopath. I went to a chiropractor who was a nutritionist, and in about 3 weeks, he just changed my diet. That's all he did. He changed my diet. Now, that was what God wanted me to do. I'm not saying that's for everybody. I'm just saying I went to a chiropractor. He was a nutritionist. And he said, I'll have your, this is what he said. He was speaking words. I walked in his office. He said, I'll have your stomach turned around in 2 weeks. And I'm looking, 2 weeks? I've been in pain for over a year. How are you going to do that? And then he looked at me and he said, you know how many, and he called me boy. He said, boy. He said, he was in his 70s, so I guess I was a boy. But he said to me, boy, he said, you know how many of these I've done in my career? I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, over 2,000 or 3,000 of these. So he automatically got my attention. He wasn't just woofing, right? I'm going to test on you. No. And he did. 2 weeks, my stomach turned around. No pain. I mean, within 6 months, it was like I never had it. But I'm just saying that choice, that direction was because I kept my words right. It wasn't that I just decided, oh, let's try this direction. No. When I went and sat with him, it was like there was a witness. I said, this is right. This is right. This is right. And the other was not right. So by keeping your words right about your health, by keeping your words right about your family and your job and whatever you're doing, keeping your words right will open the door. This is what Brother Hagin said when he was alive. Your faith and your confession opens the doors to the supernatural. And that is so true. Your faith and confession opens the door to the supernatural. And so faith is what? Substance. It's spiritual substance. And faith is the substance, the spiritual substance that does what? It says faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for, things expected. It's the evidence of things not seen. So my faith and words and confession opens the door to the supernatural. So for me, regardless of what I'm walking through, whatever I'm experiencing, I'm going to keep my words the best that I know. I mean, if I miss it and God, you know, somebody says, hey, what are you saying that for? Oops, you're right. Let me change that. I'm not going to be around on word patrol. I'm going to go around and correct people, but I'm just saying if I'm impressed, I'm going to say, why do you say that? You know? We should help one another. If we see somebody in a ditch, just don't let them stay in the ditch. So I just share those thoughts today because I think, you know, we're at the beginning of the year. Keep your words right. Speak words that are going to have a positive reaction in your life this year. And speak, I'll tell you, speak, this is going to be the best year I've ever had. The best year I've ever had in my life. My health, my money, my family, the best. And don't get moved by what you see. What does the scripture say? I walk by faith and not by sight. So if I don't see it, what has that got to do with it? Because my faith is the evidence of something that I don't see. So it doesn't matter what I see. It's what I believe and speak. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, which is forever settled in heaven. Thank you for the seed of your word that's in our spirits forever and will stay and remain and increase. And so, Father, we reverence you. We reverence your word today. And we commit to speaking those things that will give you the right to move and open doors in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for the best year we'll ever have this year. Better than last year. It's the best year we've ever had. Better in our best year in our health, best year in our families, best year in our jobs, best. And we thank you for it, Father. And the devil is defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord.